Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for December 15th, 2024, the third Sunday in Advent, is based on John chapter 3, verses 7 to 16. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon is based on our Advent sermon series, Words for the Beginning, and the sermon is entitled, Do the Good That Is Yours to Do.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, What then should we do? In reply, he said to them, Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, Teacher, what should we do? He said to them, Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, And we, what should we do? He said to them, Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Word of God, word of life.
Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the one for whom we wait in this Advent season. Amen. During this four-week season of Advent, we are using a thematic sequence and series developed by a group of pastors and artists who work under the name A Sanctified Art. If you've been with us the last couple weeks, this next couple of sentences may be a repeat, but for those who are joining us for the first time or online, this year's Advent theme is entitled Words for the Beginning, and it's described this way. Advent is a season of endings and beginnings. As the calendar year comes to a close, a new church year begins. Christ's birth ushers us into new ways of living and loving. And yet, the world as we know it spins madly on. We need words that can feel like steady ground, like a path for our feet to find as we step forward into the unknown. As you journey through this season, may you find words for beloved news and hope. May you find words for beginning again. In our reading today from Luke, people are fleeing out into the desert to see John the Baptist. They're afraid. They've heard that this day of judgment is coming. And they're clamoring to do anything they can to check off a couple of rounds of extra insurance to make sure that they will be saved. So John, they say, what can you do for us? But John doesn't mince words with them. He calls them a brood of vipers, a group that deceives for their own benefit. He tells them that if they really want to be prepared for the coming of the Messiah, they're going to need to repent. Repent means almost literally turn around. It is a changing of our mind. And John goes further, telling them that if they do truly repent, their lives will begin to bear good fruit, good deeds that show they have turned their hearts and minds toward God. In her commentary on this passage, Kayla Craig says, when approached by various community members, each grappling with their role in society marked by inequality and injustice, John the Baptist gives practical advice that speaks across the centuries. To the crowds, he says, share what you have. To the tax collectors, take no more than you are due. To the soldiers, do not harm in pursuit of personal gain. Each instruction differs slightly, yet the core message is the same. Do the good that is yours to do. This week's scripture calls us to a profound yet simple truth. I can't do it all, but I can do something that matters. Instead of conversation amongst yourselves today, I want to share with you a couple of minutes from a short documentary entitled The Spiritual Gift of Bicycles. You can look it up on YouTube if you want to watch the whole thing later, but I think it dovetails beautifully with our reading and our theme for today, and hopefully will be an inspiration to you as you think about doing the good that is yours to do. In it, you will hear about Vincent, who runs a volunteer bike repair shop for Mauritanian refugees who live just 30 minutes away in nearby Lockland, Ohio.
Is there something different about someone giving you food or clothing, which is something that you need and cannot live without? Does someone giving you a valuable accessory? It takes you from surviving to hopefully some level of thriving.
Muhammad.
We have distributed 152 bicycles to date, and around 100 bicycles, I was like, there can't possibly be any more free bicycles in Cincinnati. But like every single Sunday, I'm like, Lord, provide another 15 bicycles. Like by the time Wednesday night rolls around, I'm like, wow, how do I have 20, 25 bicycles? I've prayed more in like the last couple months than I have before that, which is maybe more a testament to my prayer life than how intense this is. They're coming to a country where they don't know the language at all. They don't know the customs or culture at all. And they live in a building with 600 people who are also in the same situation. I don't want to like speculate too much, assume that this is like life-changing for them. But I know a bicycle can be freedom. It gives them so much more time and space. Just that slight upgrade from two legs to two wheels, I mean, really does dramatically expand not only their opportunity of where they can go, but also their ability to have agency about making those decisions. I'll hear guys tell me, like, I need a bike so I can do a sport. At first it's like, oh, you can't say that because you need to say something that establishes a firm need. But then I realize that that is a huge gift to be able to provide them an opportunity to do a sport and not something that really any other organization is providing for them. It's very unique to give them that level of fulfillment.
Did you say this is my friend? Vesa, I'm going to my house, Senegal.
I would love to go. I would love to go.
Je suis arrivé. Dieu a fait que j'ai pu rencontrer Vincent. J'ai réparé mes vélos et des motos. Mais à ce moment, j'ai laissé. Quand j'ai laissé maintenant, je suis allé au domaine au commerce. Parce que vélo, que mes vélos, quand j'ai eu les vélos, je peux aller trouver le travail avec. On a pu avoir ce qu'on veut. On a allé chercher le travail, on a eu. Même si on part à la prière, à la mosquée le vendredi, on part avec ça. C'était une autre modèle. Gomoni, tu me écoutes, on a gour, et c'est. Mais alors, gour, mais c'est que doit aussi gour. Et on a comme un doux nom.
Would Jesus give the Fulani bikes? I think Jesus would show them that he loved them, like, just totally comprehensively, right? Like, not just that he meets their transportation needs, but also that he meets their needs for agency and, you know, to be able to make your decisions and move, find some semblance of control in a new land. I think Jesus would meet those. I do think Jesus would go way further than that.
Isn't okay?
Oh, it needs to be true. Yes, it needs to be true. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel equipped to convert them. I feel very equipped to give them bicycles. I see that as like an immense opportunity to share kindness and generosity and like a very physical love for them. It's tricky because if you had $100,000, like, I would probably tell you to go give it to Valley Interfaith. Like, I wouldn't tell you to give it to me because they'd absolutely need it. That's what I'm gifted because I don't have $100,000. I also don't have access to food and clothing. But I have the spiritual gift of bicycles.
Do the good that is yours to do. Not all of us are called to run a free bike clinic for Mauritanian refugees. And thank goodness for that, because I don't have the spiritual gift of bicycles. I haven't ridden one in years, let alone being able to fix one. But God calls us each individually, based on our unique gifts and passions, to participate in God's works of justice, grace, mercy, peace, and love. Frederick Buechner, an American writer and theologian, wrote the following: "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. What are your gifts? What are your passions? Where do you see need, hurt, or injustice in the world? And like Vincent in Lackland, Ohio, and his bicycle ministry, where does your deep gladness meet the world's deep hunger? John has some more wisdom for us in this passage from Luke. The people began to question whether or not John, in all of his wisdom, is the Messiah. It's then that John points them to God. He says to them, "One who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals." We cannot restore the world all on our own, just as we can't earn our own salvation on our own. But we are freed by God to participate in God's restorative story. The work of our hearts and hands takes time, but that doesn't mean that our labor is in vain. That's the good news in this passage. That God, who created the world, will be the one who redeems and recreates the world. It's not solely our responsibility. But as John told the crowds that were coming to him, if you really want to know the Messiah, if you really want to turn your heart toward God, you will be compelled to join the restoration work that God is doing in the world around us. Once more from Kayla Craig. She says, each good work, no matter how small, is a thread in the fabric of God's ongoing creation story. One where love overcomes, peace prevails, and new life emerges. This Advent, remember that your efforts, though they may seem modest, like helping with an evening of family promise or serving in the Lebanon food pantry, maybe it's bringing some food items for families in need, though they may seem modest, are part of a larger divine tapestry. And with God's help, may our acts of love and works of justice lead to the flourishing of all God's people. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.